We're very thankful that we can gather here this morning with our brothers and sisters and with gospel friends. Let's first read together a portion of scripture. Two passages. The first passage is the New Testament Gospel of John, chapter 1, the first three verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that had come into being. And we'll read the second passage of scripture that is in Colossians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 16 to 17. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, who has created the universe and all things, and today, as we are willing to gather before you, which your Spirit help us to know more of your Son. So we can all see him together and also believe. Because he is the way.
The word
behind all things. And would you also accept our praise and our worship here? We pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. And so, to start off, I want to ask a question, especially to those who have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus. Who do you think Jesus is?
I 六十的人如果了解一点历史的话，大概都历史或者说都会嘛，都知道耶稣基督是一个伟大的人。
So before I became a Christian, I think those non-Christians amongst us can understand that even before I knew who he was, I knew, and if you know a little bit of history, I knew that he was a great person. And so he was one of the great persons in all of human history.
还有我们这些村里的我们这些华人这里的人的背影，我们还有因为是不是很多那些是被统一的一个影响。
And he was not the only one, and there are others who are great, for example, in Chinese history.
当然，对于基督徒而言，他是唯一的。
But to Christians, he is the greatest.There is no one who can compare to him. He is our Savior as well as our Lord. You know that in the Bible, our Lord has several names. For example, he is the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. The Jews call him the Messiah or the Christ, and he is also the Lord of Lords and King of Kings.Well, we want to take a look at one of the special names, is what we read in the Gospel of John. And it is the name, the Word, which we just previously read.
我们是中国人啊，因为说华人，做台湾人的，或者在美国在北京的华人，我们不知道你们是哪方面的语言呀。
For those of us from China or even from Taiwan, I think we hear this word, but it's one thing that we associate it with.
Yeah, 因为咱有一个文化背景的影响啊，我记得他有把我这个题目来分析给嗯。这个第一年我们的英国人他们一直找到了他们在英国人的时候满身都会有感觉
And I remember that when I heard brothers and sisters praying and used this word term I would have a certain feeling
因为我们的这个词说你要知道你在讲道的时候千万要知道这个地上没有什么东西可以和我们的主耶稣在一样给你的这个道能够相提并论
And I was given an advice that you, when you preach, you need to understand that there is nothing else in this world that can reach this word. And so we may associate this term word with the seminal book on Taoism in the very beginning. It has this term word. And so this book is called Dao De Qing, and in the beginning it speaks that this word can, that can be described is not an actual word, a name that can be spoken is not an actual name.
Yes, 也就是说，如果他家中是不是一个道呢？是那这个无名之音，它是天地之始，有名的它是万物之母。
And so that a name is existed before heaven and earth, and something that can be named is the mother of creation. And can you see there are some things that are similar between these two? For us Christians, we believe in the Bible, and we also, like the Israelites, we believe in what's written there. And we believe the word that was given to us in the Bible and also given to the Israelites. And so, outside of the Bible in Israel, there's also some mentions of the word. For example, the wise men from the east who came, they knew of the word, but they were not Israelites. The Cologne Cathedral? You're very muffled to me. I think the speaker is not facing me. Okay. I'll try this. Okay, Tom, sorry, go ahead. And so we think that those who established the Cologne Cathedral, many of them these wise men were because they brought frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And we know that the descriptions that they gave are very mysterious and vague, and even the descriptions that the wise men followed were also quite vague. And so they actually had to go to the Jews to ask them. Oh, and had to ask them where was the king? What is the star point to? So they knew a little bit about the word, but they were actually not very clear on it. Today's topic is about the word. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And so we want to look at this Word, which is our Lord Jesus, from four different points, perspectives. And we want to take a look at how this Word relates to the material world and us. And then also what the Word has to do with human society. And thirdly, we want to look at the relationship between the Word and ourselves. And then fourth, we want to look at how can you know this Word. Because the descriptions of this Word in the Bible are very clear. And so now we want to take a look at what the relationship is between the Word and the one who created the heavens and the universe. And so you know that in the original Greek, this term word is logos, which is logic. And it's about logic, it's about reasoning, there's a certain truth about it. And so we know that all things came into being through him and for him, as we just read previously. So all things that we studied in this world, they all have the backing of, and behind them is this Word. And so we know that all these principles that we study, like mathematics and physics and chemistry, it's all just us discovering them. And all these things, man did not create them. As all these laws and governances, we are just discovering them. And so these are principles that man cannot create, and what we want to create, for example, a perpetual motion machine that goes on forever, is actually quite impossible. I remember when I was reading the Bible, there was one passage I couldn't quite understand. And so for those of us, before we believed, and became Christian, we did not understand the things of God. But there is a portion of scripture in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. For the sake of time, I'll summarize these two verses. So verse 19 says that because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them and made it evident to everybody. For this reason, all the attributes are evident. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And so at the beginning of verse 20, it says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen through what has been made, and so that we are without excuse, because it is clearly shown to us. And when I read this, I couldn't understand it. How could it be that what we God said that we do know what we clearly do not know? It turns out it is through creation that we can know God. And because when God created Adam and then his descendants, he gave them the wisdom and the ability to govern everything and to understand the operation of everything that was created. And this is a little bit different today because we know that Adam ate the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and that gave us a type of wisdom. Do you know that this wisdom and the original wisdom given to Adam and Eve by God is different? Because the wisdom that was given to Adam and Eve by God in the beginning is this understanding of the Word that's behind everything. And so the wisdom from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is wisdom that lets us recognize the Word and also wants us to allow us to want to be like the Word. And this is where the difference is. And so there's a saying that when we go into delve into science, people stop believing in religion.
还有我们开始上面的工作作为的就是建立这样的办法的时候，那我们看明白基本上都是迷信的日常，不管是对看着我们的国家宗教有没有去我们讲的那个宗教，我们不讲那是他们背后的那个大这个不是宗教。
But this is not true, because what we want to say, because what we were talking about, which is the word behind all things and all creation, is not of was not of religion. And so it is true that there are many things in this world that are many religions that are thinking that are fake. But when we really understand science, it should open our eyes to the word behind the science. So there is also a saying at the end of science is theology, but it's not really theology. It should lead us to the word behind it. And you know that modern science today can explain, has really developed and can explain things that are inexplicable back then. For example, it is the Nobel Prize winner last year. For the quantum entanglement. And so the quantum entanglement experiment seemed to show that even the smallest molecules or atoms seem to have a consciousness. And so this experiment showed that when you observed particles, they behaved like particles of light, but when you were not observing them, they behaved like waves. And so this experiment baffled a lot of the scientists, and you can go into look into it yourself if you're interested. But it seems that the experiment depended on the conscious observer because they behave one way when not observed and another way when observed. And so what we can conclude is that behind all of this is God. There are many things that we cannot accept about these experiments from the outset, but we know that behind them is God.
Yeah, 它就是科学不断的进步，我们都不知道将来有一天哪天都把这个它给我进行到网上。我们待会再提到这一点啊，这个问题呢啊，那么未来我们可以不仅是一种就是什么科学好像用来用骗的来，那我们好像最后的那些东西是有原因的。
And so what I wanted to explain with this example is that with the advancements of science, what we find more and more, there has to be a meaning or something behind all the things that happen. And so we want to take a look at the second perspective, which is the word and its relationship to us.
我们都知道，刚才我们有听经上说，我们科学技术啊，说啊，宇宙万物是万物都是为了它，都是借着它造的。但是它其他另外一些方面，它比较注意到的。
And so we just read previously that by all things were created, and all things have been created through him and for him.
还是讲一句话说。
The things both in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, all things have been created for him. And whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all of these things behind them is this word. And there is a requirement for those who believe that it's stated in the Bible that is sometimes hard for us to accept.If that is to obey the authorities. And what do we immediately think of? What about those evil managers or those evil rulers? We have to obey them too?
我们受辱的是因为告诉我们是因为他这些不管他邪恶也好像政治也好因为他后面的权力就来对比到一定会来对比到因为万事一有没有是这方面都是为他而用的对吧都是因他而立所以他权力就来对比到
And we obey because of this word behind the position and the rule and the power and the authority all of that has the word behind it And so therefore we don't have to worry about the evil authorities because God also says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so the human conscience also says that everyone has a date with judgment, and so we do not have to worry. And so we also want to take a look at a perspective of human society, which is becoming more and more advanced. Human society has advanced, and the conscience of morality, the free will, and there's also the spirit of contract.
Mm-hmm.
So we also see that human society is on a downward trend. And for example, the acceptance of homosexuality and LGBT. But there are other things in society that we want to highlight. For example, the love between man. And our free will and our goodwill and our conscience. Also the development of the legal system and law. And if you're interested, you can research into it because all of human society's laws and morality decrees are actually based on the Bible. And what does the Bible say? It's because behind all this is the Word. And there's also a thing in the Bible that any country, doesn't matter which country, as long as they are, that they respect Jehovah as God, and that country is blessed. And then you look at, if you see through history, especially for countries in Europe who worship and respected God, from the outset, it looks like they were very prosperous, and this is because of the blessing. But you'll also see that the opposite is happening now because these countries are leading God, both in Europe and the United States. And so the prosperity of the countries is declining, and there seems to be more judgment. And so that covers the perspective of the material world and also human society. Now we want to take a look at what does the word, how does it relate to us? And this is probably the most more important perspective because while we can research and understand what the word has to do with the material world or with human society, we care about ourselves, right? And so this term Dao translated in English is the word, which is a language. the main language. Because the word can be an expression of God. For example, if you are reading a novel and you read the words that are written on the page, you can understand clearly what it's trying to be, what they are trying to describe. And the word is meant for us to be, is meant to be read and to be heard. The word also allows us to see God because it is an expression of God. Not only an expression, but it is God. And so this word that is behind all things, this word is God, and then the word became flesh, so that the human could see and touch him and understand him. And so it no longer is requires us to do the hard work of studying to find out what is behind, what is this word behind all things. The word is now in front of us. And now the word is not only God, but it's one more thing. There is life in his name. We know that after the word became flesh and in the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. So he lived a life that was holy and righteous and without any blame. And so through his life we can see his not only his love, his grace and his mercy, but most importantly his righteousness. And so he died on the cross, but then he was also resurrected. And so we can see not only did he live a just and righteous life, but also he had power over death. And so that he is God. He has the power of God. And he has eternal life. So, but what does this have to do with us, or to do with me? What does this word have to do with me? And this is because the word is light. The word is the light to man. So what does it mean to be light?
Yeah.
I do not know if anyone has met someone who you can describe as the living dead. That the light has gone out from them. And they are living their life, but they are without light. And they have no hope, and the light has dimmed. I think we all know that man will die eventually. Recently, I'm in Germany with a colleague who is quite young. He has just recently gotten into this place, his division. And so he's quite young, and when we were having coffee together, he said to me, I don't think there's any meaning or purpose in human life. And this is a sound like someone who is dead. Okay. There's no meaning in life because everyone dies eventually. I think what he is thinking is what many are thinking. And I think what he is thinking is many philosophers and thinkers also consider, including a Chinese philosopher. And he said a phrase that actually influenced me quite a bit before I was a Christian. Oh, every one of us knows that there's a grave ahead of us. And so we march forward towards it. And so the process is the life. And so we know there is a famous character in China, Mao Zedong. He had a quote that basically says that the joy is in the life is in the struggle, and the joy is in the process.
Right.
Yeah, and enjoy of life is in fighting and struggling against others. And so because what is ahead of us is a grave, then I will relish in the struggle and the fighting against others along on my way to the grave.
Right.
So most of us don't think that far in advance. We think of what do we need to do tomorrow or the near future for marriage, for house, for car, children, and grandchildren. And this is what we think of. So from our perspective, we know that man dies. But what about from God's perspective? From God's perspective, we were already dead. Because as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, we were separated, cut off from life and the Word. Because once Adam and Eve sinned, God determined that a sinner could not have eternal life, and so they were separated from the God, from the tree of life, and there's a flaming sword guarding it. And so, as the women think that it's not a big deal if a sinner has eternal life. But there is a quote from Elon Musk that I think is quite interesting. You know that in science, through scientific research, there is a way to prolong man's life. But I am unwilling to put to do so and to do that research, because then that would allow people like dictators on this earth to live too long. Because of all these evil people, it is better that they only have a little bit of time. There's someone else I was conversing with who said that in his family they all have a long lifespan. So everyone can live up to 100 years of age, but the later years are very quite insufferable. And so this is because we have sin, and so our body deteriorates as we grow older. And so living to 100, 150 is really not a great thing. And so to those who live to a very old age but with a weak body, this is not something that is desired. And so now the Word who became flesh did two things. And so one is that he took all the sin upon himself, and the judgment of God was crucified on the cross, and so we have forgiveness of our sins. And two, that he resurrected from the dead to show that he had eternal life and the power over death. And so now we have, he has this holy and righteous life that he also gives to us.
他把人的罪吃掉了，然后把一个完全公义圣洁不会朽坏永恒的真理显明摆在人的面前。
And so he washed away all of our transgressions and then also gave us this resurrection life that is holy and righteous. And this is light. And so he not only gave us life, but he also gave us hope. And then we have now this hope of eternal life. And this is a never changing life, incorruptible, without blame or blemish. Sometimes it may be that we are, our gospel friend says that you are too zealous because you speak of believing, and if you don't, then there's, you can talk about judgment and hell. Yes, if you don't believe, we say that if you don't believe, you will go to hell. But the explanation actually is quite simple. The Lord Jesus has this life and he wants to give this life to us. But if we reject it, that is that not saying that you don't want this life? And therefore, because of your sin, you, you need to go into judgment, which is to go to hell. And so this is the light that is shown, this is our hope, that men can truly have eternal life. Let's go back to the scripture in chapter 1, verse 5, John chapter 1, verse
5.
And I'll read verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, of men. And verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so when we speak of the gospel to our friends, our family, our co-workers, we've all had the experience of being rejected. Especially when you speak to those close to us, they may immediately put us down and reject us and be not willing to hear. But we can see that this word, our Lord Jesus, when he became flesh, he was rejected by even more people. Not only was he rejected, but those in his hometown rejected him. And when he came to his own people, the Israelites, he was also rejected by them.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes think that it requires great strength to preach the gospel and have somebody believe right away. And so we know in history that there was one who was the greatest evangelist who talked about Jesus as the Word. And he had the greatest ability, but he himself was also rejected. But there's also an example of 10 lepers who were healed by the Lord Jesus, but 9 of them just left. And so all these people personally and experienced the Lord's power, but they still could not open their hearts. Personally experienced the Lord Jesus as the Word incarnate would reject him. So we ask, why is it like this? We know that once man sinned, God proactively separated us from eternal life. But when the Word became flesh, God provided us a way back to life, and it was a way for all men to know the way, to know the Word. And so now the issue is no longer that God has separated us from the Word and from life. It is now an issue or a problem with man. And so I think there are many reasons, but there are probably two main reasons. One is that we have left God for so long so that man's heart is filled with many other things. And so if you think about it, what fills us, our lives? If you can think about our family, our kids, our work, our different needs, all of these things require energy and time. And another thing is that the things of God have filled us. Or we're filled with different religions or different thinking from the East or from the West. And something peculiar about the religious men who are filled with the knowledge of knowledge of God, for example, and follow the Sabbath and the Pharisees, they use this knowledge of God to reject the Word who became flesh and appeared before them. And there are many other things that we are filled with that can cause us to reject God, but I won't go into them. But the other reason is that because man is filled with evil and sin, and because of that, we shirk away from the light, because the light will shine upon us and show us these things and make us feel uncomfortable. And so there are many examples of this, but I'll give one example. When I went back to China and met with a schoolmate, he said, "Oh, I know you're a Christian, but don't talk to me about your Jesus because I know he is too holy and I can't face that. Because I enjoy my current life too much, I really don't want to hear about holy and righteous things. But in his heart, he knew. So then how can we believe? We're already preoccupied with so many things, and there's so many obstacles in our way, then how can we believe in this Word who became flesh and this hope that He brings us? So we'll read another portion of scripture from Gospel of John, chapter 1, but this time from verses 6 to
9.
There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. We know that when the Lord Jesus came onto earth, he was the Word, and he went and preached the gospel.
在乎你，但是我们还有一个神的见证呢，就是施洗约翰。
But there was a, someone else who was also testifying for him, and that was John the Baptist. You can say that he was the first one to witness for the Word who became flesh. And so we know that after the Lord Jesus came to earth, he walked with his disciples, spreading the gospel, and then he died on the cross and rose again and ascended. And 1,000 years later, his disciples are still evangelizing. The Chinese phrase translates to those who are spreading the teaching, which is inaccurate. It should be more they are spreading the word. So we are not spreading a religion, a religious teaching, but we are spreading the Word and Lord Jesus, who is the Word. Amongst us, there are many brothers and sisters who are fervently preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel and the Word. And the Bible says that the feet of those who spread the gospel are lovely. So why do we need witnesses? Isn't it that the Word became flesh and is on earth and we can see Him? So why do we need witnesses? Because the Word was on earth and then He ascended into heaven, and so now He has chosen those to go and spread His work in His heart. So for those who don't believe, who don't believe in the Lord, they think that just by researching and science that they can understand the way or the word. But this is not true. So when we say the final destination of science is the Word, with our limitations of human ability, we cannot fully understand or fully reach that destination on our own. And this is why many great scientists do not believe in God, because they have studied so much and they are completely filled with the science, and they have forgot or they have no regard for the word that's behind it.
Uh,
And so their pride in what they have researched is actually a thorn and a detriment to them, that they cannot see the word behind the science. And this is actually the great danger for us, is that that came from the fruit of the knowledge, fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we are proud and we want to be more like God, and so we do not speak for the word behind. And so to see the Lord Jesus, the Word, behind all things is actually quite simple. It is to have faith, to believe. And so we spoke previously about the word logos, which was the objective word, and that's not something that we can always we can research and study into understanding. And so, but with a simple faith, we can experience something that becomes subjective to us, and that is rhema. So rhema is our subjective experience of the word. And so I'll take up a few more minutes to say that those of us who co-work with God to spread the gospel do two things, a couple things. If we feel like we do many things, then actually we're only doing two things. Or we speak of many things, but in actuality we're only speaking of two things. One is that we want to introduce the Lord Jesus, who is the Word behind all things, to a people. And it's really summed up in one phrase, is to come and see. And so it's simply to come and see for yourself. And so there are many brothers and sisters who are just, will say to your friends, once you come, you will understand. And so there are friends amongst us who come and see, and then they exclaim that they understand. Once a gospel friend sees and they show any kind of interest, we want them and we take them and we want them to pray. And to come before God and to pray, and this is the first thing, to come and introduce the Lord Jesus. And this is, what is the second thing? The second is to bring those who are interested before God. And so you'll have seen that the gospel friends, those who have brought you, are constantly praying for you that you come to know God. And
我们就帮我们转介绍给你们带来的命令，因为帮我们把你们带来的命令，因为我们已经成福音的人，我们能救你们。
And so on one hand, we bring you before God, so you can come and see. On the other hand, we place you before God in prayer. And this is because we ourselves cannot save you. And so we bring you before God and pray and ask that he would save you. Because only the Lord can save man. Man cannot save man.And so for you to believe is actually very simple. Romans chapter 10 tells us. And so that once you hear and you have this, and you say to yourself that you are willing to believe.
So
we encourage them to go and pray it, even if you don't know how to believe or you're not sure if you can believe.But we encourage them to pray because the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we'll pause here for today and let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we thank you today for bringing those who are still searching for you.Lord, would you save them today? And that when they're in their heart they are willing to come to you and to believe in you. That you would remove any obstacles in their way that prevent them from coming to you.That when they are searching for you, looking for you, that you would reveal yourself to them. That you, we thank you that you brought them in our midst because you love them and you want to save them.Just like you saved all of us. Because we are not only the product of sin. And not only have you forgiven us of all of our sins, but you have given us this eternal life.So we can know and follow after the word that is behind all things, which is our Lord Jesus. So we can know the purpose of our life and also know the purpose of the creation of the whole universe.We pray in the Lord Jesus' name.
Amen.